Welcome to our third of our midweek Lenten services. Let us begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. It is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Words from Romans chapter 10. We pray, O Holy Spirit, come to us with your comforting word, which alone can drive away all of our doubts and fears. Direct us to our Savior Jesus, so that we may trust in him with our whole heart. Amen. We hear then the passion history of our Lord Jesus. Today, this is our third reading. We hear about our Savior as he is led away from the Garden of Gethsemane. He is led away by the soldiers. The company of soldiers, their commander, and the Jewish guards arrested Jesus and bound him. First they led him to Annas, because he was the father-in-law to Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews, it is better that one man die for the people. Simon Peter and another disciple kept following Jesus. That disciple was known to the high priest, so he went into the high priest's courtyard with Jesus. But Peter stood outside by the door. So the other disciple, the one known to the high priest, went out and talked to the girl watching the door and brought Peter in. The servants and guards were standing around a fire of coals that they had made because it was cold. And while they warmed themselves, Peter was standing with them, warming himself as well. One of the servant girls of the high priest came there. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked directly at him and said, "You were also with Jesus, the Galilean." But Peter denied it in front of everyone, saying, "I don't know what you are talking about, woman. I do not know him." When Peter went out to the entryway, someone else saw him and said to those who were there, "This is one of them. This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." Again, Peter denied it with an oath and said, "I do not know the man." After a little while, those who stood by came and said to Peter, "Surely you are also one of them, because even your accent gives you away. You are a Galilean." Then Peter began to curse and to swear, "I do not know this man you are talking about. I do not know the man." At that very moment, while Peter was still speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the Lord's word, how Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." Peter went outside, broke down, and wept bitterly. The high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. And Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I always taught in the synagogue or at the temple where all the Jews gather. I said nothing in secret. Why are you questioning me? Ask those who heard what I told them. Look, they know what I said." And when Jesus said this, one of the guards standing there hit Jesus in the face. "Is that how you answer the high priest?" he demanded. "If I said something wrong," Jesus answered, "testify about what was wrong. But if I was right, why did you hit me?" The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false testimony against Jesus so they could put him to death. They found none, even though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward and said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" Yet even on this point, their testimony did not agree. The high priest stood up and said to him, "Have you no answer? What is this that these men are testifying against you?" But Jesus remained silent. Then the high priest said to him, "I place you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "It is as you have said. But I tell you, soon you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his robes and he said, "He has spoken blasphemy. Why do we need any more witnesses? See, you have just heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" They answered, "He is deserving of death." Then some began to spit on Jesus. They covered his face, struck him with their fists, and said, "Prophesy to us, Christ. Who hit you?" The guards also took him and beat him. And they went on saying many other blasphemous things against Jesus. This is the passion history of our Lord. All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We turn then to our third lesson for this Lenten season, Crossroads number 3, from the upper room to Gethsemane. If you have your Bibles open, we'll be looking at Mark chapter 14, verses 26 to 31. This is how it reads. After they sang a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I am raised, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." But Peter said to him, "Even if all fall away, I will not." Jesus said to him, "I tell you today, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. But Peter kept saying emphatically, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." And they all said the same thing. This is the word of God. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118, verse 24. That's probably not the kind of greeting that you would be expecting for a Lenten sermon. It's especially not the greeting you expected when you're traveling with Jesus on a crossroad to Gethsemane, the garden where Jesus wrestled with anguish, sweating drops of blood. By no means are we trying to make light of our Savior's suffering by greeting with such a line of praise from the Psalms. Rather, we are simply stating out that this journey from the upper room to Gethsemane is the way that Jesus did it. He did it with a hymn of praise on his lips. In our travels, we have now jumped to Thursday of Holy Week. It's Maundy Thursday evening. It's been an emotional night. Jesus has washed his disciples' feet to their amazement. Jesus and his disciples have celebrated the Passover, that heartwarming festival of festivals for the Jewish people, as they recalled the mercy of God and his deliverance of their people from slavery. Jesus has handed a piece of dipped bread to Judas, marking him as his betrayer, and excused him from the room. Jesus has introduced a new covenant with his disciples as he took the unleavened bread and said, "This is my body given for you." And he took the cup saying, "This is my blood poured out for you." The evening has been packed full of significant words and actions. And of all this happens while Jesus knows what awaits him. He knows he's going to Gethsemane to meet his betrayer. He knows that the next morning he'll have his back gouged by Roman whips. He knows that in less than 24 hours, he'll be bleeding at Calvary to be the sacrifice for the sins of the world. All this is clearly before his eye. All this he has attempted to explain to his disciples. While they may not fully grasp what lies ahead, the impending crisis fills the air of the upper room like stagnant smoke. With solemn and perhaps heavy hearts, they clear the table and gather their things, and they prepare to journey to Jesus' favorite garden. And how do they conclude? With a hymn of praise. How wonderful! Our Savior, in that mournful hour, does not say, "I cannot sing. My heart aches too much. I'm choked up with grief. I'm too sad for praise." Oh, no. Instead, he leads his chorus of male voices with hymns of praise, with a spirit glowing with a holy desire to carry out his Father's will. Jesus sings a song of adoration. How amazing, how heart-moving for us to hear Jesus begin his journey from the upper room to Gethsemane with a hymn of praise. Dare we celebrate this holy season of Lent with anything less? As we travel these crossroads year after year, it becomes so apparent how much our Savior loves us that he so willingly gave himself for us. Doesn't that make you just want to rejoice? Doesn't that make you want to sing, "Thousand thanks shall be, dearest Jesus, unto thee"? Yes, even as we travel this crossroad from the upper room to Gethsemane, we have reason to sing a hymn of praise. And may our Lenten services always be filled with that praise. And so, humming hymns of praise, let's descend then the steps of the upper room and put ourselves on that road now to Gethsemane. The path Jesus and his disciples took was not the most cheery path a traveler could take. Their walk would take them through the Kidron Valley, a deep ravine on the east side of Jerusalem that was dry for most of the year. Some have said its steep, rocky sides seem like yawning jaws of an evil monster. The path also served as a burial ground, with white tombstones lining the highway with shadowy silence. The place was also associated with King David's mournful weeping as he fled this path from his rebellious son Absalom. It seems to provide the perfect eerie backdrop for a suspense thriller movie. Although this path was familiar to the disciples, and therefore they were probably completely calm when traveling this road on this evening, this chilling backdrop provided the scenery for some unnerving news that our Savior had to share. With the hymns of praise no longer humming, we now hear Jesus give a prophecy of desertion. Jesus quotes the prophet Zechariah, "I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered." Jesus tells his followers, "Something's going to happen to me and you guys are all going to leave. You're going to abandon me." How would you react if someone whom you loved and respected told you that? How would you react if your mom or your husband or your wife said, "I'm going to be going through some tough times the next couple of months, and I know that you won't be there for me"? Wouldn't we be hurt? Offended? We'd insist, of course, "I'll be there for you. Why do you doubt my love for you?" Well, that's the reaction the disciples had when they heard this prophecy of desertion. Particularly Peter. It is he who replies, "Even if all fall away, I will not." But instead of being assured by this promise of Peter's allegiance, Jesus responds with sterner warning for Peter. For the second time that evening, Jesus warns Peter, "I tell you the truth. Today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times." Now you would think, since this was the all-knowing Jesus talking, and since Jesus was quoting scripture, and since this was the second time Jesus warned Peter, Peter would have gotten on his hands and knees and confessed the sin that Jesus said he was going to commit. Or he would have asked for strength not to desert his Savior's side. Instead, we see him putting himself above the wisdom of God, claiming to know himself better than Jesus did. Peter emphatically replies, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And it's not only Peter who had the gall to disregard Jesus' prophecy. All the disciples chime in with their undying devotion. What can we learn from this conversation on the road? Are we not to apply the same warnings to our lives? The word boldly warns each and every one of us. If you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. We are no different than Peter. We love the Lord. We can't imagine leaving him. We love to commune with him. We love to pray to him. We love everything he brings to our lives. We profess at our confirmations that we are willing to die for Jesus' sake. We may even echo Peter, "Others may leave you, Lord, but not me." We may think things like, "My family has always been active in the church. Certainly I won't leave." Or I could say, "I'm a pastor. I study your word for a living. Certainly I won't leave." Dear Christians, let us not be so arrogant to think we don't need to heed the warnings issued on this crossroad. How many times don't we overestimate our own strength to live for God and we fall flat on our faces? How many times don't we underestimate God's warnings and find ourselves denying him with our actions? Through this prophecy of desertion heard on this crossroad, let us be reminded not to rely on ourselves. Rather, let us be reminded to rely on the object of our faith, Jesus. Let him teach us about ourselves. Let him, through his word, strengthen us for our spiritual journeys. Let him share with us his will and his way. And it's his way that he also shares with us on this crossroad. For sandwiched in between the two prophecies of a desertion, we hear the promise of a resurrection and reunion. Did you hear it when I read it earlier? If not, we're no different than the disciples. Based on their quick reaction to defend themselves, it seems that they completely missed the beautiful promise that Jesus extended to them on this crossroad. Let's not miss it ourselves. After saying the sheep will be scattered, and before Peter's response, Jesus said, "But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Cherish this promise of Jesus. He is saying, in theory, the devil had a good plan. Striking the shepherd does cause the sheep to scatter. We see the devil still using that tactic today. He peppers people in leadership positions with false doctrine, so they in turn lead others astray. It is a successful strategy. But when the devil struck the shepherd, the good shepherd, in this way, the devil's victory would be short-lived. For the shepherd, although he was struck, did not stay down. He would come roaring back. He would come back to be reunited with his followers. His resurrection would mean a reunion. And the same holds true today. Because of Christ's resurrection, we will have a reunion with our Savior in all eternity. Because of Christ's resurrection, we will have a reunion with all the saints in glory everlasting. And that truth, that promise of victory, so subtly mentioned on this crossroad from the upper room to Gethsemane, puts the hymn of praise back on our lips. A hymn of praise in the middle of Lent. Wow. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, Keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We pray, Heavenly Father, Creator of all things, you give us all that we need for body and life. Every good and perfect gift comes from you, the Father of the heavenly lights. Lord Jesus Christ, by your suffering and death, you have opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. We approach your throne, O God, with confidence, for mercy and grace in our time of need. Holy Spirit, counselor and guide, you have raised us from death by your powerful word. You, O Spirit of God, have made us. Your breath, Almighty One, gave us life. Lord, fill our hearts with thanksgiving for your mercy and love, and move us with our hearts to believe and with our mouths to confess your saving name. Amen. And we pray the prayer our Savior taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Grace and peace to you from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Revelation 1, 4, and 5. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. God bless your day.